Today's episode is brought to you by Geico, because Geico asks, how would you love a chance to save some money on insurance? And we all know the answer. Of course you would. After all, who doesn't love a great deal, right? And when it comes to great rates on insurance for all the things in your life, Geico can help. Like with insurance for your car, truck, motorcycle, boat, and RV. Even help with the homeowner's, condo, or renter's coverage. You could save even more with a special discount when you bundle your coverages. Plus, add the easy-to-use Geico mobile app, available 24-hour roadside assistance, and more. And choosing to switch to Geico becomes an easy choice. In fact, how easy is it, Gio?
Well, Chris, it's Geico easy.
It certainly is. Switch today and see all the ways you could save with great rates and discounts. Simply go to geico.com to get a rate quote or contact your local agent and get started seeing how much you could save. Welcome back to part two of Corolla Classics. Let's keep the clips moving with a continuation of yesterday's clip from 2014 with Tara Reid and Anthony Ferrante.
Adam Carolla Show 1378 Part 2. Is this the half where they play made-up movie? If so, they work Tara Reid into it, and it is hilarious. Oftentimes, when you have guests playing the game, something is hit or miss. It's hilarious that they actually worked her into the movie while she's sitting and playing the game. Hope you guys enjoy.
All right, we's back. Sharknado out as we speak in a television set near you.
Sharknado 2.
Sharknado 2, I'm sorry.
The second one.
The second one is out. You can go to Tara Reid if you want to send her a tweet, and AC Ferrante as well. I'm not screwing up the pronunciation, am I?
Ferrante?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Ferrante.
Good.
Some people say Ferrani, but it's Ferrante.
Right.
We'll do a little bit of news. You guys hang out and crack wise. Let's do it, Allison Rosen.
The news with Allison Rosen.
She'll read some news from her iPad. Sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. It's Allison. Allison. And when it's time to wrap it up, she'll sign it off with zip it cut. It's Allison. Allison.
So, researchers have found that women who wear makeup in their profile pictures for online dating are three times more likely to get online date requests than those who don't. Eyeshadow, lipstick, and blush are the main things that women should be wearing. And I think we're hearing... Hey, we're hearing you guys.
Thanks, Dawson.
Oh, I should have let it go.
Mm-hmm.
It's a shitty story.
Yeah. well, no shit. Like, why do we research this kind of stuff? Like,
kids research, that eat sugary cereal are fat. It's researchers who run online sites. So that's how. So, I mean, they're just sort of doing it in house.
It's researchers for that website.
Exactly.
Basically.
Eye makeup apparently is the most effective in scoring dates. Women with painted lids are 139% more likely to receive first messages than those who don't. Lipstick was the second. I would have thought lipstick would be more important than eye makeup, actually.
Paid for by MAC.
Yeah.
And then,
well, I think
then
in the
blush.
Photo, you're really focusing on the eyes there. I think that's why. But who knows?
But findings revealed that dark makeup and red lipstick is off-putting to people, actually.
Well, there is a thing with the dark makeup. There's two types. There's, like, the dark lipstick, the one where they do the liner around the lipstick. Like, hey, sorry, I'm not into dating gangbangers. Like, what is that fucking look? Like, I did time look? Like, what is that?
Sometimes
what
it
is
happens.
That look?
Sometimes it happens accidentally, but it was a real look. I think I guess it was a 90s look.
It was a 90s look.
I think women, when their lips get too dark, they scare guys. There's something...
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, people have thought I was goth forever.
Yeah, there's
and
something...
I've never been goth.
No, she's Wiccan.
Thank you.
There's a difference,
there is,
people.
That's what we say at the meetings.
That's right. Yeah. We're in the nature, for Christ's sake. I've talked to many Wiccans. It seems to loosely be based around recycling. That's all I've really been able to find out. Like, it's never about
Mother Earth.
Yeah, it's never about summoning up spells and casting, you know, Eye of Newt and any of that. It's just
they make it very
Earth.
Clear too that they're not witches. It's Wiccan. There's a separation of the difference between the two for some reason.
Why can't they have stylish hair though?
Are there still Wiccans?
I don't know.
I think so.
Prepare for some tweets.
Wiccans is the good magic, I think. And witches are like this fake
Wiccans
thing.
Like it's white magic?
I think so.
Mm-hmm.
I believe so.
Yeah, it's Brian's high school basketball name.
That's right, White Magic.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know there was really a difference between the magics.
There's the dark magic.
There's the black magic, the dark magic.
Yeah, there's the magic.
I'm gonna guess,
there's the fall in love, and then there's the voodoo, whatever. But
yeah, like little dolls and all that scary stuff.
So,
oh, right.
Little makeup's good, too much.
Santeria.
Oh, yeah. Has to do with chicken bones or something. Anyway, it's all just good signs.
Did you guys see that movie Skeleton Key?
Oh, yeah. That's freaky.
It scared the shit out of me. When my boyfriend at the time was a film reviewer, and he said, do you want to come with me to it? And I'm like, okay. And I remember in the theater laughing at it. Like, that's how ridiculous it was. But then when I got home, I was scared for days, I think. I tend to be
easily scared
anyway. You're afraid
you're going to end up in an old woman's body?
So. Yes.
What year?
It was Kate Hudson. It was probably about maybe 6 years ago, 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it's a ghost story, basically. It takes place in Louisiana. It's like very swampy in Louisiana. And there's not Santeria, but one of the other black magics
mm-hmm.
that involves Santeria.
2005, so it says here
voodoo.
On the screen.
Voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
No. What's Haitian? Maybe voodoo.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, like there's a whole thing with mirrors.
We're going to get in so much trouble for not knowing this stuff.
Mm-hmm. I know. I recall being afraid to look in a mirror because there was like a spooky thing involving mirrors in the movie. And,
but I was afraid. You know that scary one? Like, you heard of Bloody Mary?
Yes.
When I was little, they told me, like, if you looked in a mirror and said, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, Bloody Mary, 6 times, you know, that she'd come and scrape you. And I was terrified of the mirror for a long time. Like, it was really, no one wanted to do it. Like, and kids would actually want to, like, scratching themselves and be like, I did it, and, like, it scared me so much. I never wanted to look in the mirror as a kid. Like,
I don't believe in messing with that stuff. Like, Ouija board, just, like, stay away from that. I don't need enough bad
mojo. I don't believe in it, but it scares me anyway.
Stay away from it. I mean, look, don't tempt fate. That's the thing, is if there's
especially Ouija board, they're dangerous. They can be.
I mean,
we had one when I was a kid.
I lost my sister that way.
I was a kid, and I remember my father literally saw us that we had one, and he went outside, and he burnt it. And he said, don't you ever play with something like that again.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Was your father religious?
No. For him to do that was just weird.
He was a big black guy from the Bond film who laughed really hard and sat in a wicker chair. We're going to find that guy. Yeah, I'm sort of the same way, which I'm not religious, and I'm not superstitious, but why go out of your way?
Exactly.
Yeah, to freak yourself out.
Yeah.
Exactly. I mean, there's certain things. It's like, I remember as a kid, too, with the Bloody Mary. It's like, I'm not going to do this.
Yeah,
forget
it's
it.
Silly.
And I'll go make horror movies and scare people another way.
Yeah. All right. Sorry. Skeleton Key. We should see it?
I don't know. I remember being very frightened by it. So maybe. It's so ridiculous and laughable, but it does get under your skin.
Ending. It's the ending twist. If it didn't have the twist, the movie was just, you know, mm-hmm. it didn't work.
Right.
But well, Anthony, you know, then what should we see? Because I don't watch any scary movies anymore because I just feel like, man, life's scary enough and I'm tired enough and I'm depressed enough. Like, what do I need to scare myself for? And then I see all the commercials. The commercials, by the way, shouldn't be run during prime times. They scare the shit out of my kids. Mm-hmm. And
that one is really scary. Lately with the girl that starts like, well, you know, the one
Deliver
on the
from Evil?
Wow. It's terrifying.
And then they do the... They show the chick crawling around on the ceiling. It's like based on a true story.
It's
like,
yeah,
really?
It's
when did this go on? I'm not familiar with this story. Oh, yes. It's documented.
Real events.
Really?
TMZ captured it.
Yeah. So she moved into the Bronx Zoo and ate all the animals. Absolutely. Many of those elements are true. Like, yeah, probably not all of them, though. It's be like we know a little more about it, but... And whenever they find out, like, Amityville Horror turned out to be a piece of shit, the first one was bullshit. Like, there wasn't really a haunted house. It's kind of weird how we're fucking wired. But either way, it's all like chicks that are getting possessed and doing super creepy things in slow motion and just showing dollies and girls' rooms and stuff. It's kind
that was
of
like the Poltergeist scared me to death.
That scared everyone.
That was a really
But I always
amazing.
Say, like, why is every ghost a 9-year-old girl who lost her dolly, and why are we scared? The ghost should be, this guy's a longshoreman. He's a big dude. He wrestled in college, and he's super gay, and he's a top.
Think Ving Rhames, but bigger.
He's going to fuck the shit out of you if you fall asleep. Like that. Yeah, like you go, oh, man, now it's a little girl. Like, da, 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 da. They're like, why would I be scared of the little chick in the sailor outfit? Like, I'm not. Why is that so creepy to us?
It's weird, but it is.
But how come ghosts, it's always an old lady or it's a young girl, but it's nobody you'd be scared of if they were alive.
Like, I did a scary little ghost girl in my first movie called Boo, but there were three different ghosts in there. But that, yes.
Why isn't
were
it?
Were any of them Ving Rhames like gay black men?
Of course.
It should be, yeah, just basically Ving Rhames.
If I can posit a theory, I bet it started with The Shining.
Yeah.
With the two little girls that freaked everyone out.
I think it was before that. I mean, Val Lewton in the 1940s.
Yes, and, actually. Yes, and.
I was about to bring up Val Lewton. But I talk about him so much. This guy's like, Val Lewton, Val Lewton, Val Lewton. I know. I get it. We get it. We get it.
Yeah, there goes my horror geekdom.
We get it.
Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I'm just saying it's weird, but the stuff that scares us in life, like there's never any ghost gangbangers. Or ghost rogue cops, or you know, the shit that scares us the most in life, it's the benign shit that when they become a ghost, we're scared shitless of it. Old ladies and women, like young girls and old women, are the two folks I have no fear of on this planet.
Except if you were in a house by yourself.
That's what makes them so scary.
You can relate to it. You know, you can't relate to Bubba doing this to you, but if suddenly you're in a house by yourself. With an undead 9-year-old. And it starts coming up from the ceiling or from the floor or whatever, you start freaking out.
Creepy jewelry boxes, you know, like the ballerina, when you open it, they have that creepy.
Yeah, it's running out of the
wine. Yeah, it's like wine. Those are so scary, those sounds.
Why? It's a jewelry box.
My room, when I was a kid. They had the attic door in my closet, and it terrified me. So I made sure there were boxes on top of that because I didn't want anything coming up from the attic. So it's those simple things that your mind creates. I always kept waiting for like opening up the blinds, and then there's that little ghost girl.
I think right. It's stuff that taps into that feeling of being vulnerable and afraid when you were a kid. Because when you're a kid, you're not afraid of Ving Rhames.
I was still, if you put Ving Rhames and a 9-year-old girl into my house, I would have been more fearful of Ving Rhames.
I think it's something about the combination of like menacing and innocence. Another movie that I just remembered that scared the shit out of me, which was not technically horror, but Sybil.
Really?
Oh, yeah, that was scary.
The split personality movie?
Yeah. Well, that was supposed to be based on a true story, but then it turned out that it wasn't. That was kind of a hoax.
They're all based on something. When they say actual events or something, then you always know it's bullshit. But, yeah, she had like 29 personalities or something like that.
Which started because her mother used to molest her and abuse her, but in the most sadistic, awful ways.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, here are the top 10 complaints from unhappy wives.
Sybil was weird because it came out, I don't know when that was, 1975 70s. Or something like that. No one in my family had one personality. So I was like, here's this woman with 29, and mom, you got half a personality.
You selfish bitch.
By the way, I think I know where it went. Sybil could have stolen all your personalities. It took all the Corolla's personalities.
I was listening to Classic Loveline recently, mm-hmm. You and Dr. Drew Loveline that Giovanni puts out. And I just remember this right now. A caller called in with multiple personality, and Drew was like, and who are we speaking to now? Did that happen often?
I don't remember indulging him on it. No, I mean, look, there's psychiatric disorders, and when you have a psychiatric disorder, then you can think you're Napoleon, you can cut off your genitalia, you can have 29 personalities, you can do whatever you want. I mean, once you're scrambled, you can go 1,000 different directions with it.
I guess, but it's always like, and who else is with you? Could we speak to that person? Like, how much are you not in control of this?
Well, and also, why would we want to aid and abet that personality disorder? I'm always just like, get it. Speaking to Dr. Drew, I have told it. I'll make it fast. But he has panic attacks, or had panic attacks, and he had a panic attack on the set of Loveline on MTV a million years ago. We used to gang tape 4 1-hour shows in a day, so that's a fair bit of TV. 4 hours of TV in a day. And all I wanted to do was go home. That's all I ever wanted to do is go home. And so
it's a passion for his
work. Passion for me. My passion is leaving work. So somewhere between the third and the fourth show, I was always like, you know, crank it up, people. Let's get it going. You know, let's go. Let's get going. And I walked in. Drew had to stop the taping, get up, go into his dressing room and sit down and like And I walked in and I said, what's going on? And he said, I'm having a panic attack and I can't go back out there. And I think Jon Favreau was being a douche and that's what brought it on. But either way, he said, I can't go back out there. And I said, oh, fuck yes, you can, because I'm not going home 10 minutes later than I need to. And it's the four show and I want to get the fuck out of here. And he's like, I can't do it. And I said, I'll tell you what you can do. You can stand up, go out there and sit down. I do all the heavy lifting anyway. I'll answer the next three phone calls. You physically just plant your ass on that sofa and we'll get going. And he was like, I don't think I can do it. And I was like, I know you can. Now get your ass up and get out there now. And he was like, ah, and he got up. Because it's weird. He was having a panic attack, but Drew's so dutiful. Like, if you yell at him to do something, he'll do it. And I said, get up, go out, sit. I will finish this fucking show myself. You just sit down. And he just walked right out and he just sat down. And like halfway into the first call, he's jumping in and
he's fine.
Completely went away. Yeah, so
everyone just needs like a coach to yell at them.
Yeah, don't go. Like when someone goes, I'm having a heart attack. When I'm having a panic attack, don't go like, oh my God, do you need a water? Can I get you back? Get some deeper into it. If there's a bone sticking out, by all means, call somebody. But if it's just a psychological thing, tell them they're fine.
I'm still trying to figure out what scares you, for real. Forget about Ving Rhames, because if nothing really freaks you out, there's something that freaks you out.
Let's see.
I mean, your mom actually suddenly having a personality?
Ooh.
Would that actually freak you out?
We talked about things
like
other
gore
than muffins.
And viscera and stuff like that.
But in real,
that.
I mean, everyone has that thing, like we talk about, that one thing in the back of their head where, like, okay, you know, if this happened, I would kind of get a little nervous. So, I mean, everybody has that one little trigger.
Oh, I have a weird problem with my sympathetic, like, nervous system that if I'm standing outside and a car drives by and backfires, everyone jumps, but I don't move. But it's not that I don't feel it. I just don't have a reaction to it. So I don't have any fears, although my fear is, you know, I dread a lot of things, but I don't have, like, there's a lot of shit I don't want to do, but I know it's not the answer you're looking for. But yeah. I don't have, like, fears.
You don't find anything creepy? There's nothing especially creeps you out?
Well, first off, I don't want to see anybody in pain, any gore, any of that kind of stuff. Like, when they go, oh, check out this kickboxer with the compound fracture. You can see his leg snaps. Like, I don't want to. Why am I? I'll take your word for it. He's going to be on crutches for a few months. Like, I don't get any pleasure and or want to see it. Like, I just physically don't want to see negative
things. So, like,
Hostel
or Saw or any of those, like, torture porn movies?
No, not at all. First off, I don't find a lot of them creative. I just find it's easy. You know, you take a number two pencil and you shove it through someone's Achilles heel and everyone goes, oh! And it's like, yeah, you can do it. And they do it with sound. They just show a cat and then they turn the sound up and everyone jumps. And you're like, what the fuck did you do creatively? You showed a cat. And the sound guy just pegged it, you know? But I don't have fear of things. I don't know, like getting beat up or car crashes or things like that. I'm not nuts about flying, but I don't have any. I do it all the time. I don't know. What are you looking for, Anthony?
No, I just was curious because you said that, you know, nothing really freaks you out. But there's always something because, you know, you're always curious what freaks people out because it varies. But it sounds like this reflex thing is kind of interesting because you're fearful that maybe, you know, you don't react when something horrible is happening with the sound. And then, of course, you know, your head gets lopped off.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not a big I'm not a nervous person or a jumpy person. I'm not, you know, like, I don't like insects. And, like, if there's a mosquito in the bedroom buzzing, you know, buzzes in front of the TV set at night, like, I'm not just going to go to bed. I'm going to kill the mosquito. But I don't think that's what you're looking for.
That's close enough.
Okay. Yeah, I don't have that kind of, like, I don't get that whipped up. I don't know what it is.
You're more annoyed.
I get annoyed. Yeah. But I mean, like.
But as a kid, was it ever like you watched a movie and then couldn't sleep?
Well, my problem as a kid is I grew up with parents that were, you know, living in separate places in a weird old 100-year-old, like, would have looked like a haunted house, like a literally 100-year-old house in the valley. And across the street was junior high or grade school. It was always dark and there was no street lights and it was always real dark and, like, it was just like a spooky, haunted looking house. And the scariest thing is my mom was in there and it was me and my mom, And I used to hear the stories about the Hillside Strangler and all that kind of Charles Manson and stuff like that. And what really frightened me is I knew if somebody broke into this house, my mom would lock herself in a room and she wasn't going to save me. And neither would my dad. And my dad wasn't there, but he wouldn't anyway. They both just cower in their room. Like, I felt super vulnerable and exposed because I was like, I'm 10. And if, you know, Tex Watson comes into this place, he's going to kill me because I can't do anything about it. But then as soon as I got to high school and I got big, I was like, I'm going to kick his ass. And then I didn't have any thoughts about it after that. But I never think about diseases or germs or cancer or anything. Yeah.
So there wasn't any scary movie that kept you up all night?
No, I love, like, The Shining. And I startled the shit out of me, and I loved all that. But it doesn't make me think it's going to happen. It's going to happen to me. I just go, if I'm going to be the caretaker of a hotel that's in the Alps, I guess maybe. But not. Right. I live in North Hollywood in an apartment. Like, I just didn't feel like it was ever going to happen. Oh, yeah. My gateway TV. Well, it's true. The Ring. I don't know. I keep telling old stories. I'll make it as fast as I can. But I really... You couldn't, Anthony, I don't think you could have written this one. I lived in a house alone under the Hollywood sign, and it had a sunken living room. And the sunken living room had a doorway you'd walk through, and you'd go into this sort of sunken living room. And there's a big space on the wall, and I mounted a gateway TV on that wall, so that when you were looking into the living room, you couldn't see it. But if you walked into the living room and turned around and looked up, that's where it was. And the reason I put it there is because I used to skip rope on the hardwood floor. It was a perfect place to skip rope. And every night before I went to Loveline, I would skip rope in this big cavernous room. It was just like sort of cathedral ceiling. It was a big room. It didn't really have any furniture in it. I'd just skip rope, and I'd watch this TV while I skip my rope. And I turned the TV all the way up, because when you skip rope, it makes a lot of noise. You're hearing like around and tink, tink, tink on the floor and everything. You can't really hear that well. So I'd watch Entertainment Tonight or something. I turned the thing all the way up. And one night I turned it off and went out, saw the movie The Ring. And that one, that was like pretty good and spooky, and saw it in the theater and all that kind of stuff about the TV set and the VHS, whatever, mm-hmm. and all that kind of stuff. And then I had my red wine. I went to bed, and about 3 in the morning, house dark, and I just heard like, and I was like, what the fuck? And it was like the sound of like an old man's voice, but he was yelling. You know, it was like, you better fall on and come out here. And I was like in my room with the door closed. I'm the only one in the house. I was like, hell's going on out there? And I hear, you come out now. And I was in, and I was like, huh? So I opened the door, second floor, and it, like out of a movie, it's like the staircase just led straight down with kind of a low ceiling and right out into that same living room. In the living room, the lights were flickering and the voice was getting more pronounced.
I'm getting all
freaked
out.
It's coming from the living room. And it's like, and I'm like, what the hell? And I just saw the fucking Ring with the possessed TV set. And I get about halfway down the stairs and I stop and I'm looking and I'm hearing the voices coming from the living room, and it's loud and the lights are like, it's, you know, it's illuminating. It's dark outside and everything. And I finally go out like very gingerly into the living room, and I sort of look back up at the TV set, and it's, you know, 3 a.m., it's the old preacher guy that'd be on channel whatever with, like, the beard and two sets of glasses, like, with the fire and brimstone, like, you listen to me, you'll go to hell if you don't read the Leviticus chapter 9, verse 7, and he's screaming. Well, I had the sound all the way up. That's why it was that. It was 3 in the morning, so it wasn't running. Seinfeld wasn't running. It was the old preacher, and the fucking gateway TV has this horrible design that when the power shuts off momentarily and turns on, the TV turns on. So what happened was, is at 3 in the morning, there's a brief power outage, but I was asleep, went off for 5 minutes, kicked back on, and when it kicked on, my gateway flat screen 42-inch plasma kicked on at full volume with the crazy preacher the same night I saw The Ring. And that fucking
that
freaked me out because it was coming from the TV. And I thought, why is the TV on? Why is it possessed? Why is it yelling? And didn't I just see a movie where someone's killed by their TV? So, yes.
We freaked somebody out when I was making short films in my hometown. I come from a town in Northern California called Antioch. And, you know, back then it was just like, you know, mountains and trees. And so I was making short horror films. Of course, no one did that there. So the fact that we were doing it is kind of an anomaly. So we went out in the middle of nowhere where this big tree, we found this really creepy tree. I had this girl in this white dress covered in blood holding this demonic baby doll. And we were shooting at this tree with this camera, and this car pulls up out of nowhere. And we were like, okay, there was a guy and this woman in there, and we're just like, we're just making a movie and stuff. And then the guy gets out of his car, and he climbs over in the field. And this is like farm country, too. So he climbs over, goes all over into the other field, way, way away from us. We're just trying to finish our movie, and all of a sudden, out of nowhere, we hear, "Cocksucker!" And we're like, okay. It's like, just keep doing it. And then we're trying to talk to the woman, and we're going over there. We're just making a movie. It's not, you know, we're not doing this human sacrifice. Nothing's going on. And all of a sudden, "Cocksucker!" I'm like, oh, no. It's like, "I got a gun, and I'm going to shoot you." And we're like, okay, we need to pack up right now. And so we're packing up all the stuff while the guy is, like, screaming and yelling at us and freaking us out that he has a gun. But then after we packed up and left, I'm thinking, he just left his woman in the car.
Yeah.
We could have basically added her to our sacrifice at the tree.
She could have gone like Cujo.
It's just like, you're going to try to protect the woman that we've just slaughtered, who's only a demonic baby doll, but you don't care about your own girl. That was the weirdest part.
I like that "cocksucker" was his battle cry.
His first two warning shots.
Well, we actually kept the audio, too. We have an audio, too, and I've always been tempted to take it and do an animated thing with it, because it was exactly like that.
I never, I don't know why it made me think of Cujo, because the chick was trapped in her Pinto, but
D. Wallace.
The demonic Saint Bernard just sounded weird to me. Like, I love fucking Saint Bernards. Of all dogs. Yeah. You couldn't pick a worse dog than Saint Bernard.
Barkley from Sesame Street.
It was rabid.
Whatever it was. Still, it's a Saint Bernard.
She was like a Rottweiler, a boxer, a pit bull.
Mm. Anthony, what do you think, since you're such a student of the game, scariest, your top five scary movies?
Cocksucker! Oh, great. Now that's going to be on the show.
Yeah.
In no particular order, 1980, The Changeling, George C. Scott, not the Angelina Jolie one, but the George C. Scott film, just mm-hmm. this really, really creepy movie.
Yeah, she remade it, right?
You know, it wasn't even a remake. It was some other kind of...
Right.
They just used the title. John Carpenter's The Thing. Hands mm-hmm. down, you know, one of the best movies from the 80s.
Kurt Russell,
yeah. Right. And that's a movie, too, where there's practical effects in this film, like, and there's a tiny bit of stop motion, but those practical effects hold up more than any CGI. Even mm-hmm. that remake, you saw the remake probably later, but it's just...
I never saw the remake. I saw the original. Remake's
interesting. It's a prequel, but it's not as good as the original. I would say... anything by Val Lewton, like we talked about, anything from the 1940s.
Sure.
I Walk with the Zombie, Cat People, Curse of the Cat People. They're these black and white movies. They're just incredibly scary. Take away the dated dialogue, but the sequences. Like, there's this one of the movies where you have this woman walking from one end of a tunnel to another, and you know that there's a killer out there, and they just milk it, and she just keeps walking, and then suddenly you have a fake scare of a horse and carriage, but
right.
it's just brilliantly made. Exorcist, I still can't watch anymore. I watched it a few times, but it's devil stuff, and that freaks me out. But Exorcist is a great movie. So there's 1, 2, 3, 4, maybe? Mm-hmm. We can't count, right? I'm that change guy, 4.
Mm-hmm.
And then I would throw in, let's see, The Shining. The Shining.
Yeah.
Because The Shining, it was hated when it came out.
Was it?
They got crucified by the press, but... It's kind of great, and Stephen King has disowned it, and that's when they did the miniseries. But it's still, it is one of the creepiest movies ever made.
It's crazy that Stephen King disowned what most people observe as his best book, movie. I mean, to me, it's the best of all time, and it's weird that he probably
until The Shawshank Redemption. But I know what you're saying, the horror stuff.
Well, yeah. What I'm saying is That movie is always at the top of my list. By the way, speaking of Dr. Drew, never saw The Shining, and it always drove me insane. And I always go, I wish I never... That's what I want to... Yeah, I would always say, I wish I hadn't seen The Shining. And he'd go, why? And I'd go, because I'd watch it this weekend, and it'd be awesome. And he just never would do it. But that movie is a great example for foreplay, which is gone from movies now. Now, everyone just hits the ground running. If it's an action movie, it starts in the streets of Tokyo, it's raining, and everyone's on a motorcycle, and they're cutting through alleys, and it's like, that movie was an hour of nothing. Just an hour of pure foreplay, and then when it came time to get going, like when the fucking started in that movie, you were so hooked and so tied into it. I mean, really, that thing was just a bunch of... It was really like nothing.
The first third of it was just all set up.
But it's production design. It's all it's the shots, everything. Did you see that documentary they did?
Room 237.
Yeah.
Brought it up on this podcast.
Oh, my God. It's just fantastic. You're watching this thing.
It's all behind, like, all conspiracy theories about the Shining.
And the lunar landing one is the one that has the most validity, where, it was supposedly Kubrick's admitting the fact that he faked the lunar landing. And you look at the stuff and you're going, that's a little too coincidental.
Some of it's pretty far out there, but if you're a fan of the movie, see Room 237. It's interesting.
I love that movie. Yeah.
Just everything about it. It was startling. It was creepy. It was great. The maze, the house, Scatman, shining with the kid in ice cream.
It's all great. The Overlook Hotel.
Red run. Love it. All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
That's the news. I'm Allison Rosen. Zip it, cunt.
That was the news with Allison Rosen.
All right, Sharknado 2 out as we speak. When I say out, on what's it on?
Sci-Fi Channel. Yeah,
it is airing. And Tara and Anthony, come back anytime you like.
Thank you so much.
Always a pleasure. Us, where the hell? Yeah, we're doing a bunch of live shows. Like I said, you can come find us. Send your book jacket in of President Me, and I will happily sign that, and we'll be back to our normal schedule tomorrow. So, till next time, this is Adam for Anthony and Tara, and Allison and Bald saying, mahalo.
And that clip from 2014. All right, we have one more clip for everybody, and we're going to go back to just 2019 when we played the Rotten Tomatoes game with Mr. Dave Damashek.
Adam Carolla Show, 2679. Dave Damashek, Gina Grad, Brian Bishop, October 29. Rotten Tomatoes game number 184. Dave Damashek sits and plays a round of the game. Hope you guys enjoy.
Now it's time to play it.
All right, if you love Adam Carolla, which we know you do, you should be a part of the Monthly Nut subscription program. It's our sixth monthly offering. And we're theming this week's game in honor of the latest shipment. Get yours now at CorollaDrinks.com. First up, this month you get an official Adam Carolla's The Hammer branded jump rope.
Oh.
And speaking of great boxing movies, let's break down the Rocky series. We've already done films 1 through 3.
It's got imaging on it,
which diminish in score from one film to the next. But does Dolph Lundgren's turn as Ivan Drago help put the series back on track? Mm-hmm. Talia Shire stars in 1985's Rocky IV.
Rocky IV. So,
this is a good bad movie.
Yes. So this is the Dolph one?
Yep.
I like, out of context, if you look at the movie bill of Sly Stallone as Balboa, that it, consider, obviously he had a heavy hand in the making of this picture, that he signed off on that image of himself. Think about that. Out of context, what's wrong with that human being? Like, oh, he's the champ. That's a, he looks quite disturbed.
Yes, he looks like he's got a little syndrome going on. All right, so this is that one. He wins over the Russians at the end.
Yep.
This is good and fun and living in America, right?
Yeah, it's living in America. It's this climbing the mountain, climbing the mountain in Russia.
My favorite, my single favorite thing. Well, also, yeah, and Pauly falls sort of in love with a robot.
They master AI in 1985, and the robot falls in love with Pauly.
All right. Let's
poor Creed.
See.
It's a big laughing matter until you remember that our greatest champion, Creed, fell prey to a nasty-minded Drago.
It was supposed,
Creed just showed up for an exhibition.
It was supposed to be an exhibition.
He just showed up for a light little bit of entertainment for the people.
Oh, Max Zapata, we do have the mashup with Lynette screaming, get him the towel, and Creed's trainer yelling, get him the towel. All right. I'm going to say...
Can I say a very quick question? This is with the benefit of 30 years or whatever of people like enjoying it ironically and then putting in their vote for it.
With movies from the 80s and beyond, you got to kind of remember that there's probably some contemporary reviews. You know what I mean?
Like, that there are hipsters who are like, I think this movie is funny to watch. Yeah. So, okay.
All right. I say Barely Fresh at 63.
Ooh, Barely Fresh at 61.
Mm.
I'm going to go 65.
Rocky IV is rotten.
At
40%.
Oh, no. This is a terrible beginning. I've dominated this game, much like Creed dominated the heavyweight ranks for many moons.
Well, you're only playing against the others, so we're all within 4 points of each other.
All right.
This month's monthly nut shipment also includes a signed copy of Bald Brian's memoir, Shrinkage. We all know there's nothing funny about cancer, but one film took a big swing at it back in 2011, starring Seth Rogen and Joseph Gordon-Levitt. Based on the true life story of the screenwriter, who was diagnosed with a malignant tumor in his spine. It's from the main character's chances of survival. The movie is called 50-50.
I heard this is good. I didn't see it.
I mean, take my word with a grain of salt because, you know, obviously I lived a lot of this stuff. It's a spectacular movie. It was my favorite movie of that year.
Well,
my number one movie.
The poster says a laugh-out-loud comedy.
It's sad and it's funny. On the Film Vault this week, we did top five father-son scenes, and there's a scene where his dad has dementia, right? His dad's losing his mind. He doesn't remember who he is, and being Joseph Gordon-Levitt, is going in for surgery.
Would you think he'd be capable of leaving the trunk lid open before they went to L.A.?
No, don't be
how far
don't be absurd.
Gone
is he available?
Is he?
He's not brain dead. He has dementia.
Okay.
Come on.
Hire him now, Ace.
This is a scene where Joseph Gordon-Levitt is going in for surgery, you know, 50-50 surgery.
Socks. Sorry, guy.
And his dad's like, there's basically a stranger, and he says to his dad something along the lines of like, "Hey, I know you don't understand what's going on, but you know I love you and thank you for being here." It's a dusty
sounds
moment,
hilarious.
Sure.
All right, now, Bald Brian will steer you in the wrong direction.
I know.
But I did hear this was a good movie.
Yeah, I've heard that too.
So we got to say it's good, but this could be, you know, low 90s. Good.
Oh, I see. I went 77.
Wait.
I haven't heard enough good buzz.
All right. I'm going 87.
Okay. I went 92, and I bet I'm low. I bet it's like 94, 95.
50-50 is certified fresh at 93%.
Wow.
You guys, it's really excellent. It's a really good movie.
Well, so says the critics.
Do yourself a flavor and sign up for this month's monthly nut to get yourself a bottle of delicious ogre sauce. Our next film tells the story of the most famous ogre of the 21st century. The fractured fairy tale spawned a whole franchise of animated films, but let's go back to the beginning in 2001 when Mike Myers, Eddie Murphy, and John Lithgow provided voices for the original movie Shrek.
Oh.
Chris Farley was originally the voice. He died before the movie.
You're kidding me.
Oh, there's lots and lots and lots of footage of him laying down vocals. Yeah, he, he died before he could finish voicing the movie.
Oh, yeah. You didn't know that, Chuck?
I had no idea.
Oh, but did you know Shrek was gay? Did you? Because everyone... Oh, you didn't? Everyone... Yeah, come on.
He's a landmark character in
cinema. Everybody knows he's gay.
Well, I just want to make sure. You didn't know that.
You didn't know... Wow.
You didn't know that. Really, Chris Farley. Mike Myers was the EP the whole time.
That's a good question. I don't
know. We had to be. His guy, I can't think of the guy's name, who wrote the picture with him, right?
It's totally possible. I don't know the answer.
Did you guys, everyone says this is a great movie. I found the animation a little off-putting for some reason.
At the time or when you watched it back?
Just in general.
It's DreamWorks, right? DreamWorks animation?
Felt weird to me.
Yeah, it's not Pixar.
Okay. But everyone liked this film, so...
Sure.
I'm going right back to 87.
Oh, went a little lower at 81. I think there's a bit of gross-out humor that the critics didn't like.
I went to 84 there.
Shrek is certified fresh at 88%.
Okay.
Nice.
All right. It's a very close game.
With this shipment of Adam's Monthly Nut, you can never be sober again with an in-shower beer can and wine glass holder from Sip Caddy.
Oh, now we're talking.
I got to tell you, it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong. And when I was acting confused about you guys drinking beer in the shower.
Have you heard from enough people?
I got enough tweets.
Dave, shower beer.
Yeah, I'm like a politician that was against gay marriage, you know, 14 years ago.
You've talked to enough constituents.
I've been enlightened, and I've now thought about it, and I'm now now apologizing and actually demanding more people drink in the shower.
Dave, Adam expressed confusion over the shower beer as portrayed in a commercial. It's like, and a lot of people were like, "Oh no, that's a thing."
I like it. I've done it, you know, a handful of times in my life. I didn't know the thing. I didn't realize is that it was so pervasive. My reaction was, "Really? They are manufacturing something because so many people like to drink in the
my
shower?"
My showers last less than 45 seconds. That's why.
It's only time for 1.5 beers.
Yeah, can only shotgun 2 beers. But anyway, good on you. And it takes a big man to admit when he's wrong.
Well, speaking of shower scenes, we're going to take a look at one of the most infamous shower scenes of all time. Back in 1982, remember the good old days when you could build an entire advertising campaign around dudes spying on chicks when they're in the shower?
Yeah.
But how has today's PC culture shaped the Rotten Tomatoes score of 1982's Porky's?
This has a wide range.
It's a really weird movie because this was my senior class movie. We saw Porky's.
What?
And it's an insane movie to watch. And it's also filled with a whole through line of anti-Semitism with the one guy. Like, hey, Jew boys, get out of here, kike.
He calls him, it's a bizarre side story that when he calls him a kite. The whole movie, and he's like, that's not even what you're supposed to call. But what is the There's why a, are you indulging this storyline at all?
It's supposed to be this fun coming of age teenage sexy romp with a B story of anti-Semitism from the 1950s Florida. I don't know why they work that in.
The levels that they attempt, the different things that they attempt to address in this picture, and then the one kid is an abused guy. He's abused by what? His stepfather or something? His drunken stepfather or whatever?
Way too much pathos in it to be.
And then the titular character, Porky himself, is an abusive slob. Strip club owner guy. It's weird movie, weird premise.
I will tell everyone this. Matthew Modine was in here last week. Matthew Modine was talking about Private School, which was another sort of 80s titty movie. There is a shower scene in Private School that is far greater than Porky's. If you're looking for a little nostalgia spank, fellas, this weekend, check out the shower scene in Private School. It is far better than Porky's.
Well, and then how about, not to get too sidetracked, but Revenge of the Nerds, of course, the heroes, the nerds set up cameras all over the sorority house and watch the girls within in various states of undress. This is a crime. This is a massive conspiracy felony that they commit.
Right.
And that, by the way, takes a backseat to the more egregious felony, which is that the star puts a Darth Vader mask on and then sexually assaults a woman in the moonwalk room at the carnival. Yeah.
Well, speaking of
he
setting
takes
up
the mask off, like, ha-ha, it wasn't your boyfriend at all, it's me. And she's like, oh, that was terrific. What if she says, like, I've just been assaulted, you're going to jail for all the time, friend.
Speaking of wax down memory lane, wax down mammary lane.
Wax down.
Check out HOTS. Starring Danny Bonaducci.
Oh, now we're talking.
HOTS is an acronym for Hold On to Sex.
It's like a Russian person trying to speak. I like to hold on to sex, don't you?
You know, it was insane that there was a large window in filmmaking, legitimate filmmaking, where they're like, we don't have to make a regular film. We just have to have titties.
Oh, no, that was a genre.
And we just do
that
whatever we want. It'll be in the movie theater. Danny Bonaducci, the cast of Playboy Playmates, Hang On to Sex. If you find me a trailer for Hang On to more cameras hidden in rooms watching people have sex. And a strip tag football game at the end.
Fun.
Yes.
So we're guessing right. Rotten Tomato score of Hots?
Most intellectually stimulating movie of the year.
To do everything within my power, using all my abilities, talents, and assets, to win every man on campus. So help me, Hot!
Oh, yeah.
Montucci's rocking it.
When you got the hots, you got everything. And everybody
you know I got this on Blu-ray, right?
Criterion Collection.
Hold on to sex, everybody. In the movie theaters.
Stands a hold on to sex.
Take one.
Really?
All right. I just love the all the evil deans, the super uptight dean.
It looks like I suddenly feel like I got punched in the gut. It looks like Revenge of the Nerds completely stole the premise of Hots.
Hold on to sex.
Hold on to sex.
All right.
When did that become a phrase?
All right. Let's see. Porky's. Oh, boy.
You know what? I got to change my score.
Everyone knows the film. It's so bad, but everyone knows it. We did a man show reenactment on it. All right. 41.
Ooh, Troy Polamalu. 43. Yeah, I'm going to go 43.
I'm going Devin Bush, the defensive rookie of the year. 55.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
Porky's is rotten at 33.
Oh. Yeah, Tony Dorsett.
Yeah, that's right. Very nice.
Close Tony Dorsett.
Yeah. All right, this is a close game.
Not for me. This is a humiliation.
This is our final film. I think you'll agree our last monthly nut offering is pretty special. It's two golden tickets. Randomly placed, two lucky winners and their guests get a VIP pass to Laughs with Bald Brian. To celebrate the upcoming gathering of comedians, let's look back on a classic documentary that brings together countless legendary comedians to tell their versions of the same joke over and over and over again. It's a film for comics, by comics, about comics. 2005's The Aristocrats.
Did Penn Jillette make this movie?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And Paul Provenza.
I was at the roast of Hugh Hefner in New York when Gilbert Gottfried did this bit, which was, I'd never seen it at the time. It's 2001. so he did The Aristocrats. Like, I just watched it from the dais and have him do it live, which was kind of insane. This kind of movie that critics are going to like, right? They have to like it. But it's
very
also,
vulgar.
It's very vulgar. Brian, you and I can't be separated by more than 4 to 6 points at this point.
Yeah, it's pretty close game,
point.
I think.
We're close. Sheck's a little off, but
no,
not that
I'm
far
I'm a distant
off.
Third here, I would think. But so, do you want me to go and clear the way for you?
Let me write it down. I have no idea. I didn't see it. It's got a bunch of darlings
it's
in
funny.
It. Yeah, it's good.
It's hilarious people telling jokes. The joke.
But it could get old or could be too much repetition.
It is funny, but I also am resentful. There's nothing less funny than comedians telling other comedians about how to be funny, about the craft of comedy. It's a weird irony.
Mm. All right. I think they liked it. I want 81.
I want 83.
Ooh.
I'm going to go 90.
No, you should have gone low. You should have gone. You should have gone like 60.
Don't tell me my business.
Right. Check. What'd you say?
I said 90.
The Aristocrats is certified fresh.
See,
at 79%.
Wow. Oh, you picked up a couple points. I mean,
Brian, Adam, what were your scores? Sorry, there's a lot.
Mine was 81.
83.
Yeah,
it's gonna be close.
It's funny. I wrote down
first ever time.
This is close.
I'm waiting!
Adam Carolla, you're coming in at a score of 40.
Mm.
Put you on the podium firmly.
Out of us three.
Dave Damashek, thanks for playing, man. Thank you. That was a lot of fun, wasn't it?
I hope I just hope I can win a cottage cheese calzone out of this.
You did. You did. It's right now in the front seat of your car. You and your score of 78 can hit the road.
Oh, no.
Leaving us bald Brian, who usually wins this damn game. Will today be any different? We kind of made it easy for him by putting one of his cancer movies in there. So
I was close on that one, too.
Here we go. Bald Brian, congratulations on second place, 43.
Wow. 3
Paceman takes the win at 40.
Very nice.
Must have been tied up or close to tied up right at the end.
You gained 2 points on me in the last one.
Oh. It's the Rotten Tomatoes game.
And what a treat that was from 2019. Dave Damashek, anytime he's on, it's a treat. I love whenever he's in the room with Adam, Gina, and Brian. All right, well, that will do it for this weekend's Corolla Classics. And make sure to tune into the Adam Carolla Show tomorrow, because Mr. Harlan Williams makes a triumphant return.
Ooh, I can't wait. Adam was just on his podcast. It was insane.
Yeah, I know. But maybe we'll get some more bird noises for this one.
No masks.
All right. Thanks again to everybody for listening, for sharing the show with a friend. We really appreciate it. And we'll see you next weekend. My name's Chris Loxamana. That's Superfan Giovanni.
Well, and get it on.